Take your Bibles, please, and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, if you will. We told you last evening we're bringing a message on the return of our Lord, prophecy message of the forecoming of our Savior. And tonight, we want to address this because I tell you what, congregation, I have a great friend who is really an authority on prophecy. His name is Dr. Bob Shelton. He really is an authority in Bible prophecy. He's a godly man. He's a man in his late 80s now. And he told me just a couple of years ago, he said, Jerry, I don't know if we'll be here by this time next year. Now, he didn't set any date. We don't set dates because we don't know when our Lord's going to return. But that godly man who has studied and gone around America and the world teaching on Bible prophecy, he said, Jerry, I just wonder if we'll be here next year by this time. Well, you know what, congregation? We don't know the mind of God. No one knows when this event will happen. But I'll tell you one thing. It'll happen as sure as the sun will go up tomorrow morning. It will. And I'll tell you right now, I hope tonight your life is motivated and deeply stirred as a child of God. And if you're here without the Lord as your Savior, you may have no idea what's ahead for you, but you'll understand at the close what happens to your life if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Let's all stand, please, 2 Corinthians 5, and would you all look at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Our dear Father, tonight we ask again for the Holy Spirit to quieten our lives and give an unusual attention to thy divine word. Edify your people, Father. Help the unsaved to come to Christ. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Throughout the Bible, there's this constant message of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over and over again, there's this constant message, Christ will return. How do I know that? Listen what the Bible says. Philippians 3:20, for our conversations in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. James 5:8, be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So throughout the Bible, the Lord echoes again and again, Christ will return. And when he returns, the Bible says exactly how it will happen. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 through 17 says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. That means if our Lord returned tonight, those who died in Christ, they would precede us. And those of us who are truly born again, know Christ as our Savior, we would meet him in the air. However, those who have never come to Christ, they will remain behind on this earth. And I want to show you from the Word of God, what happens to those who go in the air and meet the Lord, and then what happens with those who are left behind. Let's look carefully because 2 Corinthians 5:10 deals only entirely with God's people. Look at verse 10. For we must all appear. Now stop there at the word appear and look at me. The word appear literally means to be made manifest. many years ago, my wife and I had a revival meeting in New York State. That's where she's from, by the way, Endicott, New York. And there's a couple that sat in front of my wife and I during the Sunday school hour. And the guy was so well-dressed. The wife was so well-dressed. I thought that they were successful business people. And so, at the close of the morning service, I said to the pastor, "Who was that couple that sat in front of my wife and I?" And he told me their names. And I said, "Now, Pastor, is he a businessman?" And the pastor literally bent over, holding his sides in laughter. He said, "No, Jerry, he's not a businessman." And when he told me the man's vocation, I was shocked. I couldn't believe it. He appeared to be a businessman. However, the pastor manifested his vocation. You know, tonight, child of God, you may appear to be spiritual. You may appear you love God. But one day, the Lord will pour aside all the facade and God will reveal what we really are. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." And God knows my heart, and He knows your heart. And one day, we all will be made manifest. Go back to verse 10. Go on. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Now stop there with that statement, judgment seat of Christ. Now this does not mean a judicial bench like you and I know. Many years ago in South Carolina, my wife was teaching school. I took her to school that morning. I was going back home. I slowed down in a school district area, and when I did, a lady ran and hit me, knocked me 100 yards down the highway, tore the entire backside of my car off. When my car stopped, I was literally hanging halfway in and halfway out of the car. I had one hand on the steering wheel, and half of my body was out of the car. The doors were flung open. She came running down the middle of the street, screaming at the top of her lungs, and she said, "My brakes didn't work. My brakes didn't work." I knew her brakes didn't work. I got the full impact of them. And that dear lady and I had to go to court over that. And I'll never forget the first time I ever stood before a judge. And that judge summoned me before his bench. He said, "What happened?" I said, "Sir." And I told my side. He turned to her and said, "Lady, what happened?" And she told her side. And when she finished, the judge said, "Lady, you are guilty." And she had to pay a court cost, plus she had to pay a fine. Why? Because we stood at his judicial bench. However, when a child of God stands at the judgment seat of Christ, he will not be judged for one sin. You know why? God judged sin once and for all 2,000 years ago when Christ died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. And if anyone denies that, they deny the power of the death of Jesus Christ. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." Psalm 103, verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgression from us." Romans 5:9, "Be not justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him." So look, God judged us as sinners and sin at Calvary 2,000 years ago. Now today, though, congregation, he will judge us and deal with us as a son. Now, when I was a little boy, and I did things wrong, and I know you folk have a hard time believing I did anything wrong as a little boy, but I did. And when I did, My mother kept a cherry switch on top of the refrigerator. It was this long and this bigger. No, it was not. However, it was about, you know, a little bit smaller than your finger, about that long. Now, my father used something different on us boys. What did my dad use on us? It was called the 11 brothers. What were the 11 brothers? 11 brothers were 11 strips of leather this long, with a black handle on the back end, with broken pieces of glass and metal. No, that was not in there. But literally, there were 11 strips of leather that long and the black handle. My mother would take that cherry switch, and oh, I tell you what, that cherry switch, nothing's worse than a cherry switch on the back of your legs. And my father, when he took the 11 brothers and he wrapped it around your body, brother, it bothered you. Now, my mother and my father never said to me, Jerry, you wait till you turn when you're 30. When you turn 30, we're going to beat you half to death for all these bad things you've done as a little boy. Oh, no, they beat me half to death as a little boy, and I deserved every beating I ever got. You know what, child of God? The Lord will never shake his divine finger in your face and say, wait till you get to heaven. Wait till you get to heaven. Oh, no, no, no. You don't know your Bible, my friend. No, he will deal with you now as a son. Hebrews 12, 5 and 6 says, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So, today, he'll deal with you as a son. He dealt with sin and us as sinners at Calvary. And when we stand at the judgment seat, we'll stand there and be rewarded as a servant. Because the word bema is the Greek word for judgment seat, and it means the reward seat. Now look at verse 10 again. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, whether it be good or bad. Now look at me, please, because that last word bad has thrown so many of God's people. They think that word bad has reference to sin. Look at me right in the eyes, my friend. That does not mean sin. And if you listen to me, I'll explain this to you very carefully. You know, our crazy English language, so many words are so close, and you know what I'm talking about. They're so close. Let me illustrate this to you. Many years ago, my wife, Sharon, and I had a meal with a young couple in our church who were Southern. I mean, deep Southern people. I mean, Janet, whenever Janet walked, you could hear the bells going off. She was truly a Southern belle. Bob, her husband, Bob, was a Southern gentleman. Now, I want to tell you something. I've lived in the South 50 years, okay? I can do this. I'm allowed to do this, okay? We never make fun of locations. But I want to tell you the truth. A true Southerner, now listen to me, a true Southerner, when he talks, there's not much facial expression. To prove my point, when President Jimmy Carter from Georgia was president of the United States, look at my face, please. He'd be on national television. He'd be talking like this, and all of a sudden he'd go in the back like this. You say what you want to say. He's a Southern man, and that's Southern ways, okay? Well, Bob and Janet are Southern people. We had a lovely meal in their home. We got ready to go, and when we did, my wife picked up a hamburger press, and I thought Sharon picked this thing up by mistake. I really did. And so I turned to Janet, and I said, Janet, did you give that to Sharon? And she said to me, yes, I did. And that didn't quite sound right to me. And I said, well, why didn't you? And she said, because I had to. Oh, I was so embarrassed. I thought my wife forced her to give it to her. I said, because you had to. She said, no, Jerry, because I had to. Now, there's T-O, there's T-O-O, and T-W-O, and you've got to know which one is used to get the correct rendering, right? Okay, in the Greek language, there are three different Greek words for bad. The first word for bad means that which is directly opposed to that which is good. That word's not in here. The second Greek word means that which pulls you down into destruction. That word for bad is not in here. The third word for bad is a Greek word that means absolutely worthless, of no value. That's what's here. It's not referring to sin. It's referring to works after God saves you. And the Bible really makes this so concrete when 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Christ is our foundation. Then God says, there's one or two ways you can build your life upon that foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:12 says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Automatically, you see two kinds of materials. What is the wood, the hay, and the stubble referring to? It's referring to works that a Christian gives God based on showmanship. Hey, look at me, guys. I want your applause. Oh, come on, come on. Yeah, I want you. Oh, yes. Yeah, that is all about me. Those are works that are absolutely worthless, of no value. What's the gold, the silver, the precious stone? That the person who serves God out of a heart of love, a heart of obedience to the teaching of God's word. A person who does not want and need recognition because he's a servant and he's serving the Savior. If no one ever acknowledges him, that's okay. Why? Because he's building his life for Jesus Christ. The gold, the silver, the precious stone, serving God with the right motive. And my friend, are you aware that one day we all will stand at the reward seat and we will be rewarded according to that we've done, whether it be good or that which is absolutely bad, of no value, worthless. And that is what is burned up. And my friend, tonight, it'll stir you. It should stir my life. Am I trying to impress you people? Huh? Am I trying to build myself a name? I want your approval. If I do that, that's wood, hay, and stubble. I better serve God with the right motive. I better be loyal to Him. I better fear the face of God more than I fear the face of any man. I've got to realize one day I'll stand there and give account of how I live my life for Him. And so will you. That's what the Word of God says in Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Congregation, this one day will become a reality in all of our lives. However, take your Bible now and go to Revelation chapter 20, the last book of the Bible. Go to Revelation chapter 20. When you find it, then you've got to look this way for a moment, because after God takes His people out of this world, 7 years will take place after the Lord returns And in those 7 years, God is going to bring His judgment upon this world. Now look at me, my friend. Now look, I want to be a kind evangelist. I don't want to ever be mean and ugly. But neither do I ever want to back down and mention sin and call sin what sin really is. And you don't have to be hateful about this. But you know what America thinks is getting by with this homosexual movement that God has condemned? Did you know God destroyed the whole city, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of the homosexual lifestyle? Hey, we don't have to be politically correct. We want to be biblically sound. So the homosexual movement today is running wild. We have alcohol running wild. People think that life is all about this drinking, having a great time. God hates it and God will judge it. Drugs. Did you know one of the characteristics of the last days is the Lord says there will be those who are these drug people? That's Bible. And so we have all this stuff running around. Immorality, all this rot, the cheating, the lying, and the world thinks it's getting by with it, but oh no. One day, after the Lord takes His people out, He's going to judge this world. Listen, please, how the Bible describes this coming day. Isaiah 24:1. The Lord maketh the earth empty. Isaiah 26:21. The Lord cometh out of His place to punish the inhabitants of the earth. Joel 1:15, alas for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as instruction from the Almighty shall it come. Oh, my friend, for 7 years, God will bring His judgment upon this wicked, ungodly world. He's going to do two things. This judgment is for two reasons. One, to judge the Gentile nations, which we are. And then to judge the Jews who have rejected Jesus Christ as the true Messiah. And my friend, after the 7 years, then all the other prophetic events, then one day I want to show you where all of mankind will stand. Look at Revelation 20, verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. Now get this, according to their works. Look here, please. Now, brother, Sean, there's a black spiritual down the south. By the way, my wife was saved under a black preacher. I've enjoyed Brother Sean, I really have. And I love the south. We were kept alive. My dad was kept alive by the black people during the Depression. Dad had 15 brothers and sisters. My wife was saved under a black preacher from the state of Endicott, New York. Thank God I told Brother Sean, there's no division of color when you're born again. Amen? But the black spiritual song in the South says this, my Lord, He's a-rotting all the time. My Lord, He's a-rotting all the time. You know, there's such deep theology in that black spiritual. My Lord is rotting all the time. Which means this congregation, the books were opened and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So, lady, God has a book on your life. Well, I don't go to church. I don't care. Sir, God's got a book on you. Oh, you're not. I'm dead serious. And if God wanted to, because He's all omnipotence, all power, omniscient, all knowledge, He could take any person on the face of this earth, including you, pick you out beyond the 6 or 7 billion people on the face of the earth, and God could tell you right now, every thought you've ever thought, every step you've ever taken, every deed you've ever done, and every word you've ever spoken. You mean God knows me that well? The Bible says He does. Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men, He knows your secrets. Matthew 10:30, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He knows the most minute thing about you. Psalm 147, verse 4, He telleth the number of the stars. He called them all by their names. Now, I tell you what, this is absolutely mind-boggling. In our universe, there are billions of stars. Now, in outer space, there are billions of other galaxies. In each one of those billions of galaxies, each one of them have billions of stars. And God knows every star by name. So here's cocky, arrogant man. Yeah, religious nonsense. Have no part with it. But one day, he meets the Lord. To his horror, he's standing before God Almighty. And as he stands there, and the book of his life is opened, and everything's exposed, the man stands there in absolute horror and shock and screams and says, I plead insanity! You can't pull that on God. Or else man will say, I did not know God. I did not know that you knew me. It's too late. No one saved who stands at the great white throne judgments. No one. How do I know? Look at verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now, my friend, there'll be a lot of theology changed when a person hits the flames of the lake of fire. You know, I thank God. The Lord never, never minces with words. Oh, He's a kind Lord. He's so gracious. 1 John 4:8, God is love. God loves you. Does He want you to face His wrath? Oh, no. But if you go through life and reject His Son, then one day there's no other option. How do I know that? Well, go to John chapter 3, please. The Gospel of John, when I stop reading, read the next two words out for me good and loud, please. And then when I stop reading the rest of the verse, then would you please read the rest of the verse, okay? Here we go. The Gospel of John chapter 3, verse 36. When I stop reading, you read out loud the next two words. And I said, read out loud, good and loud, okay? Here we go. He that believeth on the Son hath what? Wow. Everlasting life, believing on Christ. However, let's say that a person does not do that, and he does not come to Christ. Well, when I stop now, then you finish the rest of the verse. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but what? You know, my friend, God gave you a brain to reason, to think, to analyze, to weigh. And you know what? When you think about your eternal destination, you have a decision to make. And that decision is, am I going to come to Christ and believe on Him and let Him give me everlasting life? Or am I going to reject Him and face the wrath of God? My friend, He's a wonderful Savior. He wants to save you. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ says in Matthew 11:28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And He will give you rest. He will save you. He'll give you peace. Ephesians 2:14 says of Christ, for He is our peace. And you'll never know peace apart from Christ. my friend, tonight, the Lord is coming. He will return. The people of God will go up. Those who don't know Him will remain. If you don't know Him, I pray tonight you'll come and let the Lord Jesus Christ save you. Let's bow our heads, please, at this time. Before I do pray, I'm going to have Brother Sean listen to a song of Have Thine Own Way. I think that's page 816. Well, they're getting ready for the song with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. You know, I don't do this all the time, but I'm going to do it tonight. Now, no one's here to embarrass you. If you're in my home in South Carolina, I would never, never embarrass you in my home. And I'm not here tonight, and I won't embarrass anybody from this pulpit. That's my word of honor. Okay? Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, best thing to do, keep your hand down. Okay? No one's looking. Here's my question. Have you been born again? Have you believed on Christ? Do you know you have everlasting life? Do you know when the Lord returns, you will be taken out of this earth and meet the Lord in the air? You say, Jerry, oh, I thank God I do know Him. If that's so, would you raise your hand? Not right now as a testimony. Just hold up in the air for a moment, please. All right? God bless you. May put it down. I didn't look. You hear me? I did not look. I gave you a chance to be honest. You said, Jerry, I couldn't raise my hand. But you know what? I believe what you preach is Bible. And if Jesus Christ can give me everlasting life, I'd like to know how He can save me. As they start playing the song of Have Thine Own Way at this time, while their heads bowed and their eyes are closed, would you raise your hand in the air and say, Jerry, I need to make this decision. I'm going to meet God. I know that. I'll stand one day before Him, and I need to be saved. Would you raise your hand in the air at this time? If you're on the verge of raising, I cannot go much longer, but I would encourage you to say, Lord, help me to raise my hand to Thee. He'll help you. Would you raise it? The last time I'm going to ask. Now, I want to speak to those of us who are saved. You say, Brother Jerry, tonight, I've heard some wonderful truths from the Bible that has stirred me and blessed my life. And I want to live my life out of obedience to His Word, out of what man's recognition. I want to serve Him out of a heart of true love and be faithful unto Him. And God has stirred me, and there's some needs in my life. Would you raise your hand as a child of God? Say, yes, that's me, all right? Since you raise your hand, God bless you. Many of you, God bless you. May put them back down. Perhaps there's a young man or young lady that you feel God's calling you in His service. You may not know how the Lord can use you, but you feel the Lord's calling you and you'd like to surrender your life, or a young married couple, to God's service. If you've never done that before, would you raise your hand right now and say, that is my desire. I would like to give my life to the Lord. All right, God bless you. God bless you and God bless you. All right. Anybody else? The last time I'm going to ask. Our dear Father, we ask again tonight by the power of Your Holy Spirit to give the increase as we give this invitation. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, would you all look here? I'll have them drop by for a moment. You all know the song of Have Thine Own Way. And that's all the Lord wants to do, is have His way in your life. If you raise your hand about a matter as a child of God, I want to encourage you to step out and come to this altar. If you want to give your life to God's service. You know, I came down the aisle as a young man. I had no idea what God would do with me. I didn't go down the aisle to go to college or be an evangelist. I just went down the aisle to give God my life. You may not know what He'll do with your life until you give your life to Him. And I encourage you, come. Now, if no one's ever taken the Bible, no one's ever shown you from the Bible how Christ can save you, why don't you step out where you are and come to the pastor and say, Pastor, I don't know. And let someone open the Word of God and show you how you can come to Christ and be saved. Let's all stand.